Welcome to Yankee Arnold Ministries. Dr. Arnold will be with you in just a moment, but first, we want you to know how much we appreciate your prayers and financial support. You may help this radio ministry by donating online at yankeearnold.com or by mail at Yankee Arnold Ministries, 7028 West Waters Avenue, Suite 316, Tampa, Florida, 33634. Again, that's 7028 West Waters Avenue, Suite 316, Tampa, Florida, 33634. Feel free to send Dr. Arnold your questions or comments to Yankee at yankeearnold.com, and he will respond as quickly as possible. Now, here is Dr. Arnold with today's message.
Alrighty, take your Bible and turn with me back there to the book of 1 Kings. Book of 1 Kings. You know, there's a thing about, you know, God up in heaven. God's in heaven. And God looks down upon the earth, and the Bible said he looked for a man. The eyes of the Lord run to and fro, looking for a man whose heart is right, that God can show himself strong on his behalf. Well, I have to be honest, I'd love to be a man that God could be able to use. But you know, when you study the book of Job, and it says that Job was just doing his thing, a good man, a godly man, even made sacrifices in case his kids had messed up and all kinds of things. I'm going to preach up another storm. But you have God in heaven saying to the devil, "Hast thou considered my servant Job?" Have you considered him? What have you been doing? Oh, I've been looking for whom I can get. In other words, the devil wants to turn people against the Lord. I'm just concerned about this thing here to lighten up my life. But you know, it was the Lord that said, "Look at my man. There's my man down there. And he loves me. He loves me more than all of his cattle. He loves me more than his wife. He loved me more than all of his possessions. He loves me more than anything. He loves me even more than his own body, than his own health." And so the devil went to work to try to turn Job against God. Well, that didn't happen. God did show Job how much further he had to go. And Job was kind of reminding the Lord how far he's come. But God was, I believe, proud of his boy. It was his idea. I believe that when you look at it, here we are. We ought to be bragging on God, like God brags on us to the devil. Do you know that God may be looking down from heaven and says, "Hey, look, the devil, yeah, look at Louis down there. Did you see Louis? Yeah. He loves me more than anything. And okay, tomorrow here's the devil. He's coming after Louis." Now, Louis don't like this scenario. He just said, "You just leave me alone." And he might be looking down and he might be looking at you and you might be the next one on the schedule. But what you do in the midst of all of that is, like Job says, he praised the Lord anyway. Amen. "The Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." And I believe that's the way it ought to be. Now, in 2 Corinthians in chapter 4 and verse 1, he says, "Therefore, having this ministry, we faint not, because there's a cause there." And later on in the chapter, he talks about, "And for this cause we faint not." There is a cause. Now here you are, and you have the Lord. When the Lord was here, do you realize that he was here for a cause? There was a reason, a purpose. When God used Moses, and Moses died, the cause didn't die. Only Moses died, but the cause did not die. He used Joshua to continue the cause. And when you study the Bible and you find out, okay, here David had a cause. He was going to build the Lord a house, but because he had blood on his hands, God didn't want him to do it. But he used him to get everything together, though he never built it at all. And then along comes Solomon. Now, just because David died, the cause did not die. And so now you have Solomon that God used to finish the task. And he finished the house and they had a great dedication. And all the people of Israel were so glad and thankful and marvel over this building. And even when they were taken into captivity, some says, the one that they came back to build, they wept because it did not have the glory of the former building. But there's another one going to be built down the road. It's going to be better than even one that Solomon had. Now, when you come to Jesus, can you imagine, here's Jesus, and he was here for a cause. And even though he knew he was going to go to the cross and die, come back from the dead, he gave this cause, the greatest purpose for any man to live. He gave it to a bunch of people that had just deserted him. 11 people deserted him at the most trying moment of his life. And when they deserted him, within 50 days, it was only 40 when he came back to him. But in less than that, he gave to these bunch of failures, these deserters, the greatest job in the world. Because see, even though he was dead, the cause was not dead. For example, Hank came over here and began a great ministry. He had a cause. He wanted people to trust Christ as Savior and challenge people to serve the Lord so that the cause lives on. Now, Hank's been dead now 5 years. But has the cause died? The cause hasn't died. I made a statement to somebody one time. I says, we build a ministry on the temporary dedication of God's people. Wouldn't it be neat if all of God's people stayed faithful to the Lord all their life? But they don't. And there's times in their life when they're closer to the Lord and more dedicated to the Lord than at other times. And the most dedicated people today might be the most undedicated tomorrow. And those that are so undedicated to the Lord today might be the ones you depend on for tomorrow. Because people are like this. They come and they go. And so you're seeking to build a work, a cause that can be carried on the backs of the temporary dedication of God's people. So you never know how much can be done because we're dealing with people who have changing attitudes, changing desires, changing goals and motives. And all those things change, and sometimes the cause of their life, it changes. When you study and you find out that God had a man named Elijah. Elijah was able to do about 7 miracles and he died. Well, did he really die? No, he just disappeared. They even sent out 50 people to try to find the guy. And they looked for him for 3 days because they said maybe the Holy Spirit took him up, put him on the other side of a mountain and dropped him. Maybe it was too heavy. Or he didn't want him. He changed his mind. They were probably out there looking for a body because they saw him go. But then the cause was not dead. God was not through doing miracles. He got Elisha in 14 more miracles because he says, I want a double portion. I want to do twice as much that the other man did. Everyone should live with the desire that I want to do as much as I possibly can for the Lord. Now, here in the book of 1 Kings, I want you to look in chapter 17. Look in 1 Kings in chapter 17. When you talk about Elisha's God, there are several things that he does. In verse 3, he hides his prophet. In verse 4, he provides for his prophet. And in verse 8 and 9, he guides his prophet. Now, what you can learn by looking at some of these things and these stories in the Old Testament is what God does for them, can God do that for me? You see, there's an enemy that's searching for us. And the thing is that God told the devil, I know where he is. It's like playing hide and seek, and you can't find me. Now, there are some Christians that are members of the secret society. In other words, they're of that group that's a Secret Service Christian. Theirs is they don't want anybody to know that they're a Christian. So I'm a Secret Service Christian. So they live in such a way that nobody knows that they're a Christian, because they know that somebody might expect more of them, and they're not willing to give more. They're not willing to, as a testimony, to live the way they ought to. Maybe there's a part of their language or things that they see and do and so forth that is not right. But the Bible talks about how that God can hide his children. Now, Ahab had been a bad man. Oh, he was terrible. He was married to somebody that you may have heard of before, named Jezebel. You ever heard of Jezebel? Oh, wicked Jezebel. I pity the man that's married to a Jezebel like that. But look what he says in verse 1. And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand. You ought to underline those words. Before whom I stand. That's where you learn how to stand, is before the Lord. If you can stand with God, you can stand against anything and anybody. But where do you stand? That's why you find out, where does God stand? And that's where I want to stand. There's a lot of issues in this world and a lot of things to fight, causes, but there's no cause greater than the one that God has called us to do. Then down in verse 2, he says, and the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, get thee hence and turn thee eastward. And here's these two little words, hide thyself. Well, why? Because there's old Jezebel and Ahab. We're going to do everything in their power because they're going to kill this guy. They hated Elijah. They're going to kill him. And the Lord knows right where to hide him. He only hid him a few miles from, you know, from Ahab. It wasn't that far. So here you are. He was on Mount Carmel. But there's also a little place there that was close by. And there was a brook. So you see there in verse 4, and it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. Now, being fed by ravens, that would be a miracle. Now remember, all he knows is, he doesn't know how God's going to do it. All he knows is, I'm a man of God. I stand before the Lord. I do what God says do. I go where he says go. I tell the king what I'm supposed to tell him. And he has to leave the rest to God. God did not always tell him everything in advance how it was going to work out. But he did tell him, I want you to go to this place, and I'm going to hide you there. Now, remember this. If God could hide you, God can hide you. If God can shut things up, God can shut things up. If God can open doors, God can open doors. You see, all we got to do is just believe God and stand with the Lord and learn to walk with him. So we have where he says he commanded the ravens to feed him. So he not only said, I'm going to hide you, but he says, I'm going to provide for you. And provide, he did. Then you go down here into verse 5, and he went and did according unto the word of the Lord, for he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning and bread and flesh in the evening, 2 meals a day. I wonder if it was hot or cold. Oh, well. And he drank of the brook. Remember, there had not going to be any rain. 3 years. It's going to be a drought. No rain. All of Israel. Bad time coming. So even in bad times, God can take care of God's people. We worry a lot about what's coming down the road. And you'd be surprised the things that I've seen and emails that I've gotten. And people are, believe it or not, there's people that are scared to death. They have no clue what to do. I say, just find the most important thing God wants you to do and just keep doing it. And don't worry about it. I remember when I first came here, I preached a sermon from the book of Habakkuk. It was on how shall we live in the midst of a crooked world. When the world is falling apart, what are we supposed to do? Well, the world is falling apart. But that doesn't mean that God's children have to fall apart. Just because the world falls apart, we ought to be the most stabilized people that there are. And then he makes this statement up here. When God was ready for him to move on, when he wanted him to do something else, what did he do? In verse 7, and it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up. because there had been no rain in the land. Well, wait a minute. God, you could have miraculously caused water to flow in the brook and whatever, yeah, but God had something he wanted him to do. You see, there was something that God said, he told him, said, I have commanded a woman to take care of you, to give you some food to eat. Of course, the woman hadn't been told yet, but God gave a command, just like he commanded those ravens to feed him. See, we don't have to know how God's going to do something, only that we believe that he will. And it'll come through in the nick of time, and God is God. So it says here in verse 8, and the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, arise and go. Time to leave. He was where God wanted him to hide, and now he's going to tell him something. He's going to tell him, says, I want you to go see old Ahab. Not Ahab, the Arab, the Sheik of the burning sand. This is Ahab, the king of Israel. He said, I want you to go see him. Now, he had been looking everywhere trying to find him because he wanted to kill him. And so as you go down through this interesting little story, look there in chapter 18. Chapter 18. And it came to pass after many days that the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year, saying, go, show thyself unto Ahab, and I will send rain upon the earth. And Elijah went to show himself unto Ahab, and there was a sore famine in Samaria. Ahab called Obadiah. And Obadiah was a good man. He feared the Lord. And he says, I want you and me, we're going to go and we're going to search every brook, every stream. We're going to try to find some water. And he'd already been sent out trying to find Elijah. Couldn't find Elijah anywhere. So he told him, says, I want you to go and see if you can find. But so as Obadiah was going down this here creek bed, you know, looking for some water and stuff, you know, lo and behold, he comes upon Elijah. And Elijah told him, says, look, I want you to go tell Ahab that I want to see him. And Obadiah said, wait. You want me to go tell Ahab? And he's already been looking for you. Even in other countries, he tried his best to find you. He wants to kill you. And if I go back and I tell him that you want to see him and that you can meet him at a certain place, well, if I tell him that, and then you're not going to be there because nobody knows where the Holy Spirit's going to lift you and put you and take you someplace. And then you won't be there, and then he's going to kill me. He had this thing pretty well figured out. So he says in verse 8, and he said, I am, go tell thy Lord, behold, Elijah is here. And he says, what have I sinned that thou would have delivered thy servant into the hands of Ahab to slay me? As the Lord thy God liveth, there's no nation or kingdom whither my Lord hath not sent to seek thee. And when they said, he is not here, he took an oath of the kingdom and nation that they found thee not. And now thou sayest, go tell thy Lord, behold, Elijah is here. And it shall come to pass, as soon as I am gone from thee, that the Spirit of the Lord shall carry thee, whether I know not. And so when I come and tell Ahab, and he cannot find you, he shall slay me. But I, thy servant, fear the Lord from my youth. He said, all right, I'll go do it. He served the Lord from his youth. But he asked, have you ever just want to voice your opinion? And then you're going to go ahead and do it, but you got to let your opinion be known. Well, in verse 13, he says, was it not my Lord what I did when Jezebel slew the prophets of the Lord? He said, I hid a bunch of people in caves. I hid them in the caves. Now see, in serving the Lord, sometimes you don't get to do all the things you'd want to do. You just have to do some of the things you have to do. Serving the Lord is not doing what you like. Serving the Lord is doing what you got to do. Just do it. You got to do right, do right. And so he says, I saved all these people. I fed them with bread and water. And now thou sayest, go tell thy Lord, behold, Elijah's here, and he shall slay me. Elijah says, as the Lord of hosts liveth, before whom I stand, I will surely show myself unto him today. And Obadiah went to meet Ahab and told him, and Ahab went to meet Elijah. And so they had a peace talk. They got together. And so things began to happen. And you know about the 450 prophets of Baal, and it's a big old showdown. And so the Bible tells us that the Lord, he did several things. He had his man in the right place at the right time, because now after all these years, it's going to rain. And you know, when you read in the New Testament, in the book of James in chapter 5, where he talks about this man of fervent prayer was able to pray and it brought rain. Well, God already told him he's going to bring rain, so whatever he prayed it because he knew the will of God. And God blessed and gave him the credit for it. That God did it because he prayed. But he prayed because he knew the will of God. That's why when it talks about in the New Testament, 1 John chapter 5, that when you know the will of God, you can pray accordingly. Some things we don't always know. But I believe it's interesting. When you look at this, I want you to see this in verse 36. And it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel. You said Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, but now Jacob is Israel, and Israel is where he's the king. And the capital is in Samaria, and this is in Samaria. So he says, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word. Everything that's going on is I'm doing it because you told me to do it. That's boldness. He hasn't yet seen what was going to be the results of this little showdown. He hasn't yet seen if God's going to literally bring fire down from heaven. All he has is God's word. So he says, take this bull and all that. And he says, soak everything in water, in the wood, soak it in water. And then all of a sudden, here comes this fire down from God out of heaven and consumed everything, and the ground was totally dry. See, God delights in having a child that he could show off on his behalf. Did you know that God is looking to you to see, now what can I do with you if you only get in the right place with the right frame of mind and do what I tell you to do, the way I tell you to do it, and live like I tell you to live, and believe me like I tell you to believe, and see what God will do for you. Are you afraid to get out on a limb because you're afraid somebody's going to cut it off? You know, I actually have people that would love to see me fall flat on my face. And that's not a joke. But that's a great challenge. I feel like, almost like he says right here, Lord, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel and that I am thy servant. Lord, I just want people to know that I'm trusting you and I'm believing you and I'm expecting you to do what you want to have done. And it doesn't matter to me how God does what he does, only to believe that God will do what he says he will do. We're supposed to believe it anyway. And look down here in verse 39 where he says, and when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and they said, and this is what God was after. The Lord, L-O-R-D, Jehovah, he is God. It's not Allah, he is God, or anybody else. It is Jehovah, he is God. He is God. And God wanted them to know that the God of those 450 prophets, it was not God. Their God is not God. The God of Elijah, that's God. See, a lot of people, they don't know if God's real or not because they don't see God real in anybody else's life. And you and I should be concerned about that. But what I want you to see down there in verse 41, and Elijah said unto Ahab, get thee up and drink, for there is a sound of abundance of rain. He hasn't even seen any rain yet. He hasn't even yet seen a cloud yet. He had to pray seven times, and he sent his servant out to see, what do you see now? And finally, after a while, it was a cloud about the size of a man's hand. So we're only starting with an acorn. But he says it wasn't long before the sky was black. Look what he says here. It says the sky was black. See, in verse 45, came to pass in the meanwhile that the heavens was black with clouds and wind, and there was a great rain, just like the Lord promised. But you see, he stated things and came to the point where he believed it without seeing how God was going to do it or when God was going to do it, but he believed that God would do it. And then when you go to the New Testament, you'll find that the Bible says, he was a man of like passion, just like us. But it says, much can be done by the fervent prayers of a righteous man. God says he was a righteous man. Did you know that right after this, he was a man about ready to have a nervous breakdown? He was on the verge of wanting to commit suicide. But you know, when you go over there in the New Testament, you don't read that. God just kind of leaves all that out of it. You see, the things that you do for the Lord, when you get to heaven, that's all that's going to be is what you did. All the things that you didn't do and the failures that you had, it won't be remembered anymore. That's what's so good about the Lord. But he says, lay up treasure in heaven that you can't lose that. But all the time that you wasted, yeah, you could have had some more. But it's so good to know that when you read chapter 11 of the book of Hebrews, a great hall of faith, all those people that messed up all those times, none of it's recorded there. It's just that they're a man of faith, a man of faith, a man of faith, a man of faith. By faith they did all these things. And you don't see in when he talks about Moses there, and he, you know, esteemed the riches of Christ greater than the treasures of Egypt, it doesn't record that man he killed. That's not even done. But didn't he kill somebody? Yeah. Didn't David kill somebody and committed? But you see, get to Hebrews chapter, none of that's mentioned. And so when you and I get to heaven, it's amazing. That's why for now we ought to serve the Lord with all that we've got. We're going to be so glad that we did. Now, look in 1 Kings in chapter 18. Just go back just a page. I want to show you this. In chapter 18, you'll notice that he makes a statement in verse 36. In verse 36, it talks about when you're looking at God's Elijah. You see, before we talked about Elijah's God. Elijah's God, well, he hides and provides and he guides. So you know that. But God's Elijah, he prays. And then in chapter 17 and verse 3, he obeys. He prays. And he obeys. And then he stays where God tells him to until it's time to move on. You see, if God tells you to do something, you just do it. And then when God opens a door, then you're free to walk through it. But we're not supposed to get sledgehammers and crowbars and try to bust open doors that God has closed. Because if God opened up a door for you, he can open it. When God was ready for the children of Israel to go across the Red Sea, I believe he made it wide enough for them to get through. And all of them to get through. And for all of them to get clean through. But you see, it closed in upon all those that he didn't want to go through. They kind of got wet. They were all baptized. They didn't get across. So you have interesting things found in the Word of God. But we have so much to be thankful for. God's been so good to us. Would take
my place. Is it possible to trust Christ as my Savior without making him Lord of my life? Is it true that if Christ is not Lord of all, he is not Lord at all? Pastor Yankee Arnold has prepared just the right book with answers straight from the Bible. The book is called Gospel Driven Man, and Pastor Yankee wants to send it to you free of charge. Simply write to Pastor Yankee at Yankee Arnold Ministries, 7028 West Waters Avenue, Suite 316, Tampa, Florida, 33634, and request the book, or write by email at yankee@yankeearnold.com. That's yankee@yankeearnold.com. Jesus is coming, so keep looking up.
Thanks for listening to today's broadcast. We pray that today's message was a blessing to you and your family. You may help support this radio ministry by donating online at yankeearnold.com or by mail at Yankee Arnold Ministries, 7028 West Waters Avenue, Suite 316, Tampa, Florida, 33634.
Friend, one day it will happen. The trumpet will sound, and we will be changed. Caught up to meet the Lord in the air. So live today and every day, believing that the Lord is coming soon, and just keep looking up.
Amazing grace amazes me.